Get started. All right, have a seat. We'll get started and begin our wonderful time today. So many people came walking in from outside and saying how beautiful it was, and it looks like some people decided to stay outside, but that's okay. It's nice in here too, right? And we'll have the rest of the day. But let's open with prayer and just be thankful to the Lord. Lord, I thank you today that we have the opportunity of life. I thank you, Lord, that you are the way, the truth, and the life, and that you are, Lord, that life that we have chosen. Father, I thank you for each and every one in this room that has made a decision that Jesus Christ is our life. He is our Lord. He is our everything. I thank you today as we gather together as the body of Christ, Lord, that we can know that you are with us and that you are present with us. We just ask that you'd lead us. We ask that you would nourish us, Lord, as the head nourishes the body. I ask, Lord, that we could just flow in what you have for us today. I ask that you'd bless and lift up and encourage each and every person that is here today. And we thank you, God, once again for your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I guess Roland's downstairs getting ready for the luncheon. Don't forget the luncheon downstairs after service. Chicken Parmesan. When I get an opportunity to do announcements, I go to the important part first. Okay? So go to the back of your bulletin. And we're going to say happy birthday Saturday to Peter Jr. Where is he? The Lord bless you. He's the only one there. There's no other anniversaries or... Is anybody missing a birthday? Is somebody's birthday not on here? Or anniversary coming up?
I don't know, but somebody wants to send me a gift.
You'll take gifts, though, huh? Yeah, Robert's learning the joy of receiving. And he just wants to let everybody know that. So, amen. So, let's see. What other announcements do we have in here? Oh, don't forget tonight. Tonight, it's written in here tonight that the service starts at 6. It actually starts at 7. And come on out and just be encouraged, be lifted up and built up. I was at a breakfast meeting with Dr. Rashan yesterday morning, and it was just a wonderful time. Just everybody walked out of that place just lit up, excited for God, and so you're going to want to come, okay? Tonight at 7 o'clock. Everybody's invited. Bring people out. We're going to have worship. The worship team will be with us, and we'll have worship tonight. What else? What am I missing here? I know Pastor Roy had some announcements, as well as Pam is waving a baby bottle back there. All right, do we have the other microphone? Come on, green. Go green. Did you ever stop at a red light waiting for it to turn green? That's exactly what's going on here. It's not turning green. Bring that back to Mr. Geffer, if you would, please.
Just a reminder, baby bottles are still out there. We did add more if you would like to help collect change for Morningstar Pregnancy Center. Also, I wanted to note that they're due today. Scripture card orders are due today. And then lastly, in the bulletin, the purple sheet is family night. We want to do some family activities over the summer. The first one is next Saturday, May 26th, in the basement. Everyone is welcome. Come out, bring a board game, a snack, a drink, and we'll just hang out and have fun together. And I also put down kids' DVDs. Maybe if the kids have a DVD they want to watch towards the end of the evening, just kind of chill out. But if you have any questions, give us a call.
All right. Thanks, Pam. Next Sunday is a celebration of Pentecost Sunday. Anybody know what happened on Pentecost? The Holy Spirit fell. Did he get back up? I agree. I'm just teasing. What? The Holy Spirit came down, people spoke in tongues and stuff. Yeah, It was what Jesus promised, that he'd ask the Father and he'd send the Spirit. And they were waiting that day in the upper room in one accord, and the Spirit of God came like a wind and like tongues of fire. And it was a tremendous, tremendous time for the church. The church was birthed at that moment. And so it's a tremendous celebration for us that today enjoy the benefit of that particular day, where the Spirit of God is now in our lives. Amen? And so it's an exciting thing. So that's next week. We got our celebration of the day that the Holy Spirit fell upon the church and the church became alive. Amen? So get excited, because he's still alive. Amen? All right. Any other announcements that I'm missing? No? Okay. With that, we have Frank is going to come up and share with us.
Morning.
Worship team and get ready.
Well, so you know what Gomer Pyle used to say, surprise, surprise, you know. I'm going to share just for a couple minutes, and guess what? Oh, grace, you know what I mean? Surprise, surprise. No, nothing else, Dennis. No, I'm going to share for a couple minutes about grace. You know, our scripture is 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And another verse that we've been hearing a lot around here lately is Hebrews 4:16. Sorry about that. It says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. But you got to catch the verse before that, that we often don't say. Verse 15, it says, for we do not have a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but he was in all points tempted like we were, only without sin. So God, Jesus knew what it was to be a human being. And he knows the kind of things that we face and we come up against. Now, God gives me these little sayings. You know, if you've been around at all, you know, I mean, I can be reading a book or reading the Bible or whatever, and something will pop in my brain. Let me find it. It just popped back out. But thinking of that verse, this thing popped in my brain when I was reading a book and I just wrote it on the side of the book. If we cannot come boldly to the throne of grace, it is one sign that we still need to grow in our knowledge of grace. If we cannot come boldly to the throne of grace, it is one sign that we still need to grow in our knowledge of grace. See, have you heard me say this before when I talked about this verse? I say the time that I need mercy and grace the most is when I need it the most. It's when I just did something I shouldn't have done, or I need help for something, or I'm about to do something I shouldn't do. I need God's grace and mercy. Well, that's the very time that in our own selves we feel least like going to God for his mercy and his help. But now I'd like to change the words just a tad, because you hear Pastor Pete talking a lot about God's grace is God's ability. So let me read it to you this way. Therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of God's ability, that we can obtain mercy and find God's ability just in time when we need it. Hallelujah. See, we can have our confidence is not in that feeling that we're having, that we don't feel righteous, we don't feel like God is the last person we want to go to. Jesus knew that. He knew that. So he said, when you're feeling like that, that is exactly when you need to have boldness and confidence. See, the boldness and confidence isn't in ourselves. The boldness and confidence is in God. that Jesus had been down this road, and he knows exactly where we're at, what we're feeling, what we're experiencing. So he's telling us now, when you need it, I don't care when you need it. Usually, I most all the time need it. But whenever you need it, you don't have to be stopped by anything that the flesh is telling you, anything that your emotions are telling you, because the scripture says when our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts. That's the exact time that God is saying, come to my throne of my ability and receive my mercy and my ability to help you just when you need it.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. To see things like you do, yeah.
know, hey, Dave, you need to bring that thing out here. Thank you. Get that up here. You know, this morning, this is not the first time there's been a ball in the church, okay? But it's not a beach ball. It's a regular ball that we can play and have fun with. And, you know, this morning, as I was lying there asking the Lord about a message today, I had this dream, and the dream was I was in a vehicle, and I pulled up to this huge mansion. And I had people in the car, and I don't know who it was with me. And I said, "That's my house." And they said, "Yeah, right. That's your house." I said, "No, really, it's my house." And I said, "How can I prove it to you?" And they said, "Well, get out, pull the keys out, open the door, walk in the house, open the refrigerator, make yourself at home. That's how you're going to prove it. This is your house." And you know, we can walk around as Christians saying, "You know what? I got my name written in glory. You know, I've got an inheritance in the kingdom of God. I'm a citizen of heaven." And we walk around, and you know what? I got to say to you people, prove it. Are you going to enjoy the life God's given you? Are you going to just, you know, if the Lord is good, if the Lord is faithful, if we truly are delivered, then let's act like we are. Amen? And you know, Nehemiah, in chapter 8 of Nehemiah, the Lord had the word read to the people so they understood where they stood as the people before God. And then Nehemiah says, don't sit there fretting and worrying and being so concerned and serious. He says, rejoice, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen? And the enemy loves to steal our joy. He loves to get us so serious, so pressured down with things that really don't matter in eternity. You know what I mean? If the Lord said it was time for you to go home right now, and you went home, it wouldn't matter if your Visa card was maxed out. Now, I'm not saying go charge your Visa card. But it wouldn't matter, you know, if you were behind 2 months payment on your mortgage. It really would not matter one bit. But what would matter is that when you leave this world, who do you face? Do you face your friend? Do you face the Lord that you've come to know? That's what matters. Amen? And the Lord has released us today. We've got, if we would truly understand the freedom that we have in Jesus, you know, that the weight is gone, that the condemnation on our lives because of our sin, here you go, John, is done. Good shot, John. That ball's a little bit heavy. Now I know why Pastor Dave used a beach ball. But anyway, just don't hit anybody in the face with it. Beware, everybody. But we need to have fun in the Lord. It is time to rejoice. You know, Jesus rose from the dead. I thank God he died for us. He paid for our sin. But he rose from the dead so that we can be justified, made right with God. We can be in the house of God as his children. Got to be careful. Once in a while, one of his kids gets hit with a ball. I'm sorry. You did, okay. But anyhow, let's enjoy the Lord. Yeah, why can't we enjoy the things of the Lord? Yeah, no fireworks next week. Look what happens with a ball when we bring a ball. I know, we get all excited at a game. Yep. Right. And it's not just a hoop. Right. It's not just a hoop and a holler. It is coming to the realization, people, that we really are free. That we really are free in Christ. And let's enjoy the freedom that he's given us. Amen? Sorry, worship team, I didn't want to interrupt you. But let's worship God. Let's sing these songs like they really mean something to us. Let's have a little bit of joy in what we're saying. I can sing this, you know what? I can lift my hands and you know, I thank him that his eyes are on me. I thank him that he's given me, you know, freedom in Christ. And let's be real about what we're doing. Let's be excited for God. Because, you know, we're on the side of the cross where Jesus has risen victoriously. And you know, the sin has been broken. I have been set free in Christ. So let's enjoy Him. Amen?
Oh, Oh, let's make Yeah.
Hallelujah, Lord. Amen. Is God great? Do we believe it? Amen. Great God. He is so great. He is so good. We need to magnify Him more often. We need to focus on Him to the extent that He becomes bigger than anything else. Amen? That's the plan. That's how it is that we're to set our eyes on Him who is the author and the finisher of our faith, so that He is all that we behold. You know, and you might say, well, how can I get anything else done? You'll get things done far better, you know, through the mind of Christ. He has become our wisdom. Thank you, guys. And you'll get so much more accomplished. You go so much further in life having proper alignment and having God in the proper place in your life than you ever could in your own toil and your own strength. Amen? And so giving God the glory and the honor that's due Him in your life is far more beneficial than trying to take what time you have and toil yourself and make something happen and build a life. God can do so much more and has done so much more than you could ever do on your own. Amen? And being excited about God and realizing that His promises are true and what He has accomplished, He truly has accomplished, needs to be our focus. And that's my focus this morning. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You for Your presence. We thank You, Holy Spirit, for guiding us and leading us and directing us and letting Your Word come alive in our lives. Father, we thank You for the opportunity to worship You. We thank You, Lord, for the opportunity to receive Your Word and to know Your ways and to know Your thoughts, oh God. We thank You for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I started reading this morning. I woke up also, as I told you about this dream that I had and this vision of, you know, if that's really your house, you know, are you going to prove it? Are you really living there? Amen? We're really saying that we are citizens of heaven. We're really saying that we're part of the kingdom of heaven and of God. Are we really living there? You know, are we really, you know, turning the key on the doorknob? Are we really going into the house and getting there? But I was reading in Isaiah in chapter 55, verse 6, says, "Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near." How many know that you're better off seeking God before you have a problem than while you're in the middle of the problem? Yeah. You know, some people think that God is like this special, you know, solvent that you rub on all your problems and your problems go away. You know, God is your friend that sticks closer to than a brother. He is your ever-present help in time of need. But it's best to seek Him before the problem. This is in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6. "Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near." You know, in Luke 19 is a story where Jesus says He drew near Jerusalem. And it said that He wept over Jerusalem. He said, "Oh, Jerusalem, if you would only have known the things that make for your peace." In other words, Jesus came to bring peace, but they would not recognize Him because they had their focus on something else where they were expecting their peace to come, right? They were expecting if some Savior would come and just ransack and run over and defeat the Roman soldiers that are keeping us in bondage, then we'll truly be at peace. And Jesus comes in to bring peace, and they didn't recognize it. It said that when He drew near, and the Bible says here in Isaiah to seek the Lord while He may be found and to call upon Him while He is near you. Amen? Is God near you?
Yes.
Are we seeking Him? Are we calling upon Him? Or are we in this train of thought that things are okay unless there becomes a problem that distresses me? So now I'm going to call on God, and I'm going to rub the magic bottle, or I'm going to put the little salve on the problem, and it's going to make it all go away. Amen? But the Lord says, no, that's not how it works. You seek me while I draw near. Call upon me. It says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him and to our God, and he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways. For as the heaven are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth the bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. And it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. And it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out with joy. See, that's interesting. He says, you know, I've got my word. I want you to align with my thoughts, because my word has gone forth, and this is what it's going to produce. And that is that you shall go out with joy, and you will be led forth with peace, and the mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. And instead of the thorn shall come the cypress tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. So the Lord's word is blessing to his people has gone forth, and he says it's not going to come back void, but I want you to seek me when I draw near, and I want you to understand something, that you have to change the way that you're thinking, because my thoughts are not your thoughts. That there's ways that you think that keep you bondaged up, that keep you hemmed in, so that you can't have my joy, so that you can't go forth and watch as my glory covers this earth, as the waters cover the sea, that you cannot break forth into singing and bring forth the joy to the world because of some of the ways that you're thinking and your thoughts. And this is an interesting correlation, but I want you to turn with me to Acts chapter 12. And I'm talking about, you know, learning how to think the way that God thinks so that we can walk in the freedom that he's given us, so we can walk in the blessing that he's given us. Amen? And so I want to turn to Acts 12, because as I was looking at this, I was seeing this story, and it was a time that Herod was just ransacking the church. He was grabbing all the main leaders of the church, and he was killing them, and he was trying to eradicate the church. He was trying to, he was unleashed by the devil against the church. And verse 1 says, of Acts chapter 12, about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some of the church. Anybody feel harassed? Ever feel harassed? Like things just, I wake up some days just say, man, this is a harassing day. Nothing goes right. You know, everything that you think could go wrong goes wrong. Why can't things just go right? You know, whenever you start feeling harassed, seek the Lord, okay? Just seek him while he may be found. Get prepared. And so he was harassing them. And then he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread. So when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. Four squads for one person, right? This Peter is going to get it. And he put him in jail. And it says that Peter was therefore, in verse 5, kept in prison. But constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. The position and the posture of the church in times of harassment has got to be prayer. Amen? We've got to believe that God answers our prayer. We've got to put our time before the Lord in prayer. You know, it's not a time to be fret and a time to be worried, but it's a time to pray. It's a time to say, God, our hope and our trust is in you. So then he goes on, and Herod was about to bring him out that night before Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers. Okay, so now he's got four soldiers, four of these squads of soldiers. Then he's chained between two soldiers in the prison. Was there any hope for Peter escaping? 64 altogether. Thank you, Terry. Okay, 64 soldiers, and then he was chained between two of them in the prison behind lock and key. You think Peter had any hope of escaping? He says, now behold, an angel of the Lord, verse 7, stood by him, and a light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise quickly. And his chains fell off his hands. Then the angel said to him, gird yourself and tie on your sandals. And so he did. And he said to him, put on your garment and follow me. So he went out and followed him and did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. And when they were past the first and the second guard post. Now, look at that. They had a guard post, the first one, the second one. And they got past there, and they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them at its own accord. And they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. Okay, so here he was. He was in prison, chained between those that were tormenting him. You think those guards just kind of like, yeah, hey, Peter, let's just hang out here. No, they were in torment. They didn't like Peter. They didn't like to have this detail given to them, you know, by their leader to say, you're going to be in prison, chained beside this prison. You know, those guards weren't very nice people. So Peter wasn't in a very nice situation, right? He was in probably the most rotten situation you can think of. I don't think the prisons were very nice. They didn't have color TV. They weren't watching the basketball game. They weren't in air condition. They weren't eating steak dinners. This was a prison back in the days of Rome time, okay? It was awful, and here they were chained there. Now, the interesting thing was, is God came to deliver them, just like God has come to deliver you. You're delivered. You're free. But you see where God started. You see, there was a gate to the city, the main gate of the prison. Then there were three guard posts, you know, and then there were the guards right in the jail that housed him. But see, where the Lord started is he came and he tapped him and he said, rise up, you're free. Just like the Lord says to us. But you know what oftentimes we say? Well, what about the other two guard posts? And what about the gate? You know, what's the sense of just making me free in my spirit? What's the sense of just making me feel the joy and the release of the Lord because I've got all these other problems in my life and I'd rather God start at the outer gate and work his way in instead of his way coming and setting my heart free so that I can be free on the inside, so that I can be delivered personally, so that I can have the joy of the Lord that doesn't depend upon whether that gate opens or not. You know, so I can begin. See, God always starts on the inside in delivering us. Because you can be set free. Those gates could be open and you could get out there just like the children of Israel did. They came out of Egypt, right? God brought them out of Egypt, but they never got Egypt out of their hearts, right? And just that same way. But see, the Lord begins his deliverance in our hearts. And that's what's so important about the message of grace. A lot of people think, you know what, if you preach the message of grace so much, then people are going to think they can live any way they want to. And the message of grace is that it just doesn't matter. God did everything for you. You can live like hell and call yourself a Christian. That ain't the message of grace. Absolutely is not. The message of grace is that God truly has set me free from the law of sin and death. I'm no longer in that bondage anymore. So now I can live in a way of freedom that opens and unlocks all the other gates in my life. Yeah. You know, I can't be free of alcohol problems. I can't be free of different addictions in my life, pornography or lying or all these different things that can hold our life. I can't be free of that until I understand that God has come and truly has graced me with and given me the ability to be his child and to no longer be under the weight and the guilt of that sin, I can no longer be, you know, unless I understand grace, then I cannot truly be free. The Bible says that in John 8, that you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. And those around him looked and said, you know what, we're not in bondage to anybody. And Jesus said, you know, that which you obey is what you're in bondage to. You know, so people come and they say, okay, I'm a Christian now, I received Jesus, but they're still living in certain patterns of life that they can't be free from. Well, they're still in bondage. And so they got to understand that God wants to come and set them free, and they're waiting for them to open the main gate out there, and the angel's in the prison with them saying, look, you're free. The chains are gone. You're free. And then what he said, if we go back in verse 7, it says, now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison and struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise quickly. And his chains fell off his hands. Then the angel said to him, gird yourself and tie on your sandals. And so he did. And then he said to him, put on your garment and follow me. When you understand grace, you can put on the garment. When you understand grace, you can put your shoes on and get ready to go. Because if Peter didn't fully trust God, this is a move of God that's not based on anything I'm doing. Because, you know, in our lives, we say, well, wait a minute, you know, that's great. You're preaching about being free from sin. You're preaching about being set free. You're no longer under the old law. And that's great, and that's great. But you know what? I still got all of these other things that in bondage my life. But if you understand that the God that is here to set you free in your spirit and in your heart is more than able to take care of any other gate of bondage, any other, you know, garrison or troop that's against you, he is able to do that, and he is willing to if you're willing to begin to walk in the grace that he has for you. Because your own pride and your own ability is not going to get it done. You can go it for a little bit. You can, you know, pull yourself up by your own bootstraps, and you can get out there and you can fight against things yourself, and it's going to go so long, and guess what? You're going to run out of energy and strength and ability, and you're going to fall flat on your face again. But, you know, when you understand that God just keeps pouring out his love and his grace and his mercy on you so that you can, as the angel touched Peter on the shoulder, he raised him up and said, now I want you to put on the garments. I want you to begin to believe that you are who I've made you to be. I want you to begin to believe that you are set free, that you truly are free, and that now I want you to begin to walk out your freedom. And as you do that, as you know, to be set free on the inside, to let your spirit be free, to feel no longer condemned, no longer having to accomplish a thing to make yourself acceptable to God. When you really believe that, you might say, well, wait a minute, hold it. You know, if you really believe you don't have to accomplish a thing, don't you know God has good works for us to do and so on and so on? Yeah, he does. But good works are works that God does and that we do with God, not that we do because if it's works that we do, then it's works of our own self, righteous works that are filthy rags that have no value to the kingdom. But when we understand that we are free, that we can now walk along our life and follow God the way that we would love to do, then all of a sudden now we are free to do the good works of God. We are free to be about the Father's business. And the grace of God has set me free. That's why Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. He didn't say he was what he was because he has a doctor's degree and, you know, he studied at all the great theologians' places, and and he beat his flesh into submission. He said, no, you got to understand, it's the mere grace of God that has made me who I am. But we've got to understand how grace works. Oftentimes we want to apply grace to the outer places of life. In other words, I've sinned. Oh, it's the grace. I don't have to worry about that. It's the grace of God. That's the wrong application of grace. You know, God is not mocked. You will reap what you sow. If you go out and do rotten things, guess what? You're going to pay the price of those rotten things. That's the way it is. But what grace does, it sets my heart free so I no longer have to do the rotten thing. See, grace deals with the root issue. The real application of God's grace deals with the root issue in my life. But if I'm going to take some sloppy grace that people accuse us of all the time and apply it to my life and say, okay, well, that means I can just keep living that way. No, that's deception, that's sin, and the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life. And that's what grace will produce. Grace enables me to walk out the eternal life that he's given me. And I grab a hold of the enabling grace of God that says, you are now free, you are now my child, you are no longer that sinner, you are no longer, you know, that person that is in need of judgment. There's no more condemnation on your life. You're now free to live with me. So come on, put on the garment, let's go. That's how God applies grace. He doesn't apply it to the outer gates. He applies it to the inward heart of a man. And once that grace finds its way there, and once we begin to stand in grace, it says by faith we stand in grace. And once we begin to stand there, and we begin to allow ourselves to put on those garments, the garments of righteousness. Turn with me to Acts chapter, I think it's, let me find it first and I'll tell you. Acts chapter 13. This was Paul preaching. Verse 38. And he's talking about Jesus. This is Acts chapter 13. Let's go to verse 36. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell asleep and was buried with his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised up saw no corruption. Talking about Jesus. Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, everyone who believes is justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest what has been spoken in the prophets come upon you. Behold, you despisers marvel and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which you will by no means believe, though one were to declare it to you. God has done an incredible work. And it's up to us to believe it. It's up to us to receive it. It's up to us to gird ourselves up and walk out the freedom that he's given us. And now, how do we do that? You might say, well, how do you gird yourself up? I mean, how do you, you know, the angel touched Peter and said, get up, put your shoes on, put your robe on, let's get going. How do we do that in our lives? Here we are sitting here saying, okay, I'm gonna receive the grace of God. I'm going to say, God, you know, you touched my life. You've made me free. How do I now walk that out? You notice that Peter didn't immediately say thank you and take off on his own. It said that he followed the angel. And once the angel had him outside of the gate, the angel disappeared And then after that, it said that he went to the house where they were praying. And it said that he knocked on the door, and a young girl came to the door and was so excited, she didn't even let him in. But she went back to the other disciples and said, "Hey, guess what? Peter's at the door." And what did the disciples do? They get all excited and run to the door and say, "Hi, Peter?" No. They said, "No way, he's not at the door. What are you talking about?" Here they were praying, believing, you know, and praying and interceding for Peter to be released from prison or whatever. But when it happened right in front of them, they could not even believe it. They said, "It's got to be some kind of a ghost. You know, maybe they must have already killed him and his ghost decided to show up." You know, they were so in such unbelief, they weren't even biblically correct. You know, they got off their rocker believing in some kind of weird ghost showing up or whatever. You know? So how do we walk this out? How do we, you know, here they were praying and believing and waiting, but they could not even believe in what they were praying. We got to keep believing. We can't, you know, okay, I believe I'm free in grace and now I'm going to walk on. And then just give up on our believing. We got to keep believing. We got to keep seeing this through. We got to begin to live and act like, you know what, we're expecting the things of God to happen. We're not expecting the opposite. I think so much the American church, we've been conditioned to expect to see God not do something instead of expect to see God do something. Remember a couple years ago, the whole teaching came through about keep your eyes on what God is doing, not on what God is not doing. You know what I mean? Sometimes we get our eyes, you know, all we're doing is focus. I'd like to see this happen, and it's not happening. That's where our focus is. Well, if that's not happening, let's find out what God is doing and keep our eyes on that. But oftentimes we get conditioned to not even expect to see the things that we're praying for happen. And not even expect to see, God says, "I'm doing a great work." But yet you're not even going to believe it. And that great work is that he truly has made you sons and daughters of God. He's truly made you into the righteousness of God in Christ. He has truly made you and set you free and given you the right and the power to become children of God. So why not get excited? Why not begin to live a life of celebration that God has really done this for me instead of waiting, you know, in unbelief that the gate out at the street is not going to be open when you approach it? Don't worry about tomorrow, the Lord said. You know, hey, a worker is worthy of his hire. I'll take care of that. Tomorrow today has enough worries of its own. Don't worry about tomorrow's worries. You know, just be satisfied that God has set you free. And begin to rejoice in that. And begin to celebrate that. Begin to put that garment of freedom on. And then let him take you step by step. See, the angel took him step by step through each and every thing that would keep him in bondage. Didn't he? He walked him through the first group, the first guard station. He walked him through the next guard station. And then ultimately, the gate that led out, he led him through the pearly gates, right? No. He led him through the gate into the city. You know, so ultimately what will happen is the Spirit of God will lead us in this freedom that we have. But we got to believe and we got to trust and we got to continue to follow. And we got to start out with putting that garment on. I'm a child of God. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am saved by the grace of God. It's not by works of righteousness, but it's by his grace alone. And you know what? I believe that. I believe I'm a child of God. I believe I'm righteous. I believe I'm free. I believe I'm no longer a sinner stuck in my sin. I'm a saint of God. I'm a child of God. I've got the garments and the clothes of righteousness on it. I can prove that to you. You know, I have it on. And I'm going to live that way. I'm going to believe that way. That's how I'm going to live. And that's what I'm going to rejoice and be excited about in my life. And that's what I'm going to walk out and live, because you know what? I truly and honestly 100% believe that it is. Amen? And I'm going to have the joy of the Lord in my life, even though there's other things out there that could potentially put pressure on my life, I'm going to rejoice in the God of my salvation. I'm going to thank him that he came right into my prison, tapped me on the shoulder and said, get up, the bonds are off you. You are now free. And come on now and walk with me. And when you're walking with him, you don't have to worry about the other guard posts. Amen? You don't have to. But see, the thinking that happens in our way of thinking, we want proof that the gate is open on the other side. We say, God, yeah, the chains are off. That's wonderful. But you know what? I can't leave this place. There's two other guard posts there. And then if I even got through there, there's this big iron gate that there's no way I'm going to get through that. That's our stinking thinking. That's why in Isaiah it says his ways are above our ways. We got to change the way that we think. God has set me free. And he is more than able to keep that freedom and walk me through that freedom regardless of what life brings in my path. Amen? Because we keep thinking, well, the hardest thing is taking care of my debt. Or the hardest thing is dealing with all of these things I got to deal with, you know, in this world. No. The most incredible miracle, the hardest thing is for him to come and pay for your sin and set you free from that law of sin and death. That's the greatest miracle. That's the greatest thing we need to rejoice about. You know, you can gain the whole world and lose your soul. What good is that, right? What prospers a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? Let God begin at the where he wants to begin, in the prison cell, unlocking you, setting you free, letting you be born again and set free to live a life of joy and peace in him, regardless of what the gates are ahead of you in your life. And begin to enjoy that life. And let him, you know, allow you to put on those garments and allow you to walk out. And step by step, he will lead you to freedom. Amen? He will lead you to freedom step by step. And we just keep believing him because our God is able. That's what Paul said. I have considered that he is who promised is able. Amen? And it said that Abraham, believing that he that made the promise, referring to his son, Isaac, was able to keep that promise. And then he said he believed God, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. Amen?
Amen.
So do we believe God? Do we really believe we're free? Do we really believe that I don't have to do another thing to make myself acceptable to God? That I am just, you know, the old song, just as I am. But I understand that God isn't going to leave us all a mess, is he? Because his plan when he came into that prison with Peter wasn't just to unlock him so that he's got the pressure off his wrists and he's a little bit more comfortable in that stinking, dungy prison. That's what we do. We think, oh, thank you, God, and we just get a little bit more comfortable, but we stay in that stinky, dungeon old prison. And we think, oh, God set me free, you know? Until you realize the bars are there, I don't like the food, there's rats here, and they come and they beat me every so often, you know, and I'm really, I think I'm free, but I'm really not free. He doesn't want to leave us in those conditions. He wants us to put that garment on and follow him into total freedom. And we don't want to stop. We have to continue to follow him all the way through. But he begins by setting us free in our heart. Setting us free in our spirit, taking the bondage off and the weight of sin off. You see, that's what grace is so important. That's why grace is so important. That's why it all starts with grace. Because grace isn't at the outer gate. Grace comes right in to the place of our bondage, to our hearts, and changes us and raises us up and makes us into something that we couldn't be on our own. You see? And changes us. And eventually will change us into the very image of his own son. That when we see him, we'll be like him. Because of his amazing grace. You know the old song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. had saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Thank you, God. So are we going to put the garments on? Are we going to truly believe that we're free? Are we going to continue to follow Him in that freedom till we see that we're free from all the other things in life, all the other pressures, all the other worries? Because He truly wants us to have abundant life. He truly wants us to have joy. He truly wants us to have the peace that passes understanding. He truly wants us to have all of that. Amen? But we think we have to have it to begin out there. Let everything in this world, you know, have favor on me. Everything turn my way, you know, fall in place for me in this world, and that's how God's going to bless me. No, He's not interested in that. What He's interested in is what's going on right in here, right in our inner. He wants us to be set free from our inner man. Amen? And so that we can walk and truly as free people. Because we can have all the world's stuff and still be totally in bondage and have no freedom in our soul. But the Lord comes right into the prison to break all of that, all those chains off, and to set us free. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank You today for the freedom that is ours in Christ. Father, we don't truly understand it all. Even when we try to explain it, even what I'm feeling inside and trying to explain it, Lord, I can't even explain it the way I feel it. But Lord, I thank You for freedom that comes through the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank You, God, for revealing to us that, Lord, we can't do this on our own. Lord, we can't straighten ourselves up. We can't whip ourselves back into shape. I thank You for Your word that's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, Lord, that leads us in the way of everlasting. But I thank You, Lord, that You come, Lord, personally, Lord, and come and You touch our lives. You free us and walk with us, Lord, through the bondages of life, setting us free. Lord, I pray that wherever we're at today, whatever bondages, Lord, whatever prisons we found ourselves in, whatever, Lord, we've stopped along the way and stopped believing and stopped, Lord, wherever it is, Lord, wherever we got one shoe on and one shoe off, one arm in the sleeve of the garment and one out, Lord, wherever we're at, Father, I thank You today that You're here to lead us through, Lord, into greater freedom in our lives and to greater freedom in our life, into a greater release of the life that You have come to give us in each one of our lives. So, Father, in Jesus' name, I just ask, Lord, that You touch each and every one of us. Lord, I ask for the spirit of wisdom and revelation to be upon us. I ask, Lord, for Your anointing of impartation upon us that we can truly receive today of Your word, of Your grace, Your enabling power, that we may be truly, Lord, raised up to the men and women that You desire us to be. Father, I pray for every person here, Lord, every call that's upon their life, every desire, godly desire that You have placed in them and implanted in them. Father, I pray for Your breath to be breathed upon each and every individual, Lord, that each one of us can grab a hold of You, Lord, grab a hold of Your grace, put the garments on, and walk, Lord, into the life that You've called for each one of us. Father, may You bless each one. Father, I pray, Lord, for blessing in every way in our lives. But may we prosper as our soul prospers. May we find ourselves, Lord, being on the increase in every area of our life. But, Lord, don't let us neglect the increase, Lord, of the freedom of our soul in You, the freedom of our spirits in You, Lord. May we find that place of rest and peace. May we truly understand the no condemnation of the grace of God. We thank You for it, Lord. We give You glory. There's no God like You. We thank You, Lord, for truly freeing us and for truly giving us a reason to rejoice. Lord, when we truly know Your word, we truly have reason to rejoice. We thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And just one more thing before we release, we do have our lunch downstairs. Everybody's invited. But remember, if you go home and read Nehemiah chapter 8, the people were living in a way that they weren't living in a godly fashion. They found the word, they read the word. And basically the word said, you have a way. You have a way to find blessing and honor. And that way is through walking in obedience to this word. And when the people heard it, they got heavy because of the word, because they felt condemned because they weren't living it. But that's when the prophet rose up and said, look it, don't be dismayed. Understand, rejoice, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Rejoicing in what God has made you instead of being so depressed about your own shortcomings is a key to being successful as walking in the freedom of God. A key to walking in the freedom of God is instead of being so, having your mind so set on the rottenness of your sin nature, let's get excited about who we are in Christ. Let's begin to live and walk out and celebrate the new person that we are in Christ. How about that? Is that a good idea? Let's be excited about who we are in Christ, because you know what? You know, where your treasure is, there your heart is also. You know, where your focus is, that's the way you're going to go. Remember when you first learned to drive a car, and whenever you look away, you turn the steering wheel that way? That happens. That's just a natural thing. When you begin to drive anything, if you look that way, you begin to steer that way. Right? That's true. It happens. But when you learn that, wait a minute, no, I can't let those things distract me in a direction that I want to go. You know, we got to keep our direction in which way we're going. And let's stay focused and let's stay excited about the new life that he's given us in Christ. And let's keep those robes on. Because every time we get so bummed out about the rottenness of our flesh and we get so focused on that, we take that robe and we leave it on the ground. And we live in that. Let's keep that robe on. Let's stay focused. Let's stay excited about who we are in Christ. Amen? So God bless you. Lord, thank you for the food we're having downstairs, the wonderful chicken parmesan. We ask that you bless it and bless the cooks. Thank you for Roland and Ellen and all the other workers down there. It looks like Nancy's down there, and I know there's going to be others. Father, thank you, Lord, for, Lord, the favor of God and by preparing this wonderful meal for us. Bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen.